We resume our study on 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 4 to 10, with the theme of building a spiritual house. For the last 2 weeks, or last two times, we studied the foundation of a spiritual house from verse 4 to 7, and looked at those who are excluded from verse 4 to 8. And today we will look at the third and last account where Peter talks about the church. Today's passage, verse 9 and 10, begins with the conjunction but. In verse 7 and 8, Peter talked about people who rejected Christ and were stumbled by him. And now, he brings his attention to those who are chosen by God. In verse 9, Peter even uses the plural you instead of using the singular you, because he is talking to the church, not the individual's life. So we have studied the church as the people of God, the family or household of God, the temple of God, and the body of Christ. And this afternoon, I would like to focus on the church as the kingdom of Christ, based on today's passage. I humbly ask you, build a spiritual house and remember that you are a citizen of the kingdom, proclaiming the king of the kingdom. You are the citizens of the kingdom, proclaiming the king. Our first heading is about the character of the kingdom, kingdom itself. The church has the character of the kingdom of God. Christ absolutely is the king and head of the church. He rules over all. Our confession says, the visible church, which is also Catholic or universal under the gospel, consists of all those throughout the world confined to one nation. Consists of all those throughout the world that profess the true religion and of their children, and is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The visible church is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are talking about building the spiritual house. In the Old Testament era, the term house was used for the term kingdom, as in the case of the house of David or the house of Solomon. And the language used in Exodus 19, 5 to 6 and 1 Peter 2, 9 are very much related to the concept of a kingdom or a concept of a nation. Actually, Peter drew on the language of Exodus 19, 5 to 6 as we read. We should see the continuity of the church from the Old Testament. There is a proclamation from God that the Israelites is the kingdom of God. The people of Israel are his own people and his nation. This group of people is separated from the other people on earth. And when it comes to the New Testament, the church is referred to as the new Israel. So the church is the kingdom. Therefore, we do not agree with the system of biblical interpretation known as dispensationism, which differs radically from covenant theology at a number of crucial points, particularly with regard to God's redemptive dealings with the human race. Dispensationalists argue for a radical separation between Israel and the church. In their theology, in their mindset, God has two different redemptive plans. One relating to earth and involving Israel. The other relating to heaven and involving the church. They say, the church is never equated with Israel in the New Testament, and Christians are not Jews and true Israel, etc. But going back to the text, there are four descriptions of the people of this kingdom in verse 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for his own possession. What is first mentioned is that the church is chosen race or generations in other Bible translations, which means that we have the same ancestor. This description also expresses the character of the kingdom, that the kingdom of Christ is composed of the same race having the same ancestor. Indeed, we all are from the same biological father, who is Adam. But in spiritual understanding, we all are the descendants of Abraham, the descendants of Isaac, and the descendants of Israel. As Paul says in Colossians 3:29, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise, and we are in Christ. Excuse me. And this chosen race is serving the king who is the Messiah, same king and one king. The concept of the kingdom of God continues to mature and develop from the Old Testament to the New Testament. As we see in Exodus 19 in OT, the Israelites saved out of captivity was the only one receiving grace and salvation from the Lord. God makes a promise of salvation, blessings for all peoples on earth. So as we see in Peter's letter in New Testament, he was writing to Gentile Christians who received the blessings given to Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ. Once they were called aliens and strangers. But under the covenant of grace, the people of God are a single body. God called each one of us. The Holy Spirit gathered each one of us from different places, different languages, different lifestyles, and different backgrounds. Where we were from is not important, but where we are now is important. We have been brought into one body, into his church, and into his kingdom. Next, I would like to look at who we are as citizens of this Christ kingdom under the second heading, members of the church are citizens of the kingdom. Again, the citizens of kingdom. I want to focus on four adjectives: chosen, royal, holy, and special, describing who the citizens of the kingdoms are. Kingdom are. First, the citizens are the chosen. That the members of the church are the citizens of the kingdom teaches us that the way of becoming citizens of the kingdom depends on God. His election is the only way of entering into his kingdom. For example, there are few ways to become a U.S. citizen. People who are born in the territory of U.S. or who are the children of U.S. citizens automatically hold U.S. citizenship. For someone from outside of the U.S., there are immigration processes involved in becoming a U.S. citizen. However, becoming a citizen of Christ's kingdom is different. The reason is as follows. No one is born without sin, which means there is no righteous and sinless parent. And all human beings are born in this sinful world. Thus, we are automatically excluded for the kingdom of God. To enter his kingdom, God must choose him. In his absolute sovereignty and providence, he chooses his people. The well-known Greek word ekklesia for church is a compound word formed from ek, put from and to, and kaleo, to call. The word kaleo, to call, is the same word Peter uses in verse 9. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God brought us from the place of sin and misery into the place of grace, into his kingdom. Ecclesia is the people called out from the world to God. This is the way of becoming citizens of his kingdom. Second, the citizens are royal. Peter picked the word royal to express the rank of citizens. The rank of citizens. Royal is a fancy word, but does not appear many times in the New Testament. In fact, this word does not fit well with the recipients of Peter's letter. As we have covered earlier, they were aliens and strangers in this world. However, the Bible says they and we are the royal family in his kingdom. This high or royal position makes it possible for us to stand before the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Christ made us the princes and princesses of God's kingdom. And we are also promised the inheritance of the kingdom since we became the royal family. But this is not only a spiritual idea. The command to be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth is still applicable to us. We see the distinction of our kingdom from the world, but we also see the ruler, conqueror, and king of this whole world, and we are His royal family. That the members of the citizen, the members of the church are citizens of the kingdom teaches us also the character of the citizens. The character of citizens. The third adjective we look at is holy. I have been emphasizing that one important theme in Peter's letter is a Christian's holiness in this life. He who called you is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct. It is already mentioned in 1 Peter 1:15. This is the character of the citizens of the kingdom. The fundamental meaning of hagios, holy in Greek, is different. Different. A temple in first century was hagios, holy, because it was different from other buildings. And the holy people of God also has the technical meaning different from the world. So this church and this kingdom should be showing its holiness, its distinctness from the world. One pastor says, God's people who are described in both the Old and New Testament as a kingdom of priests must constantly hear the good news of the gospel and constantly apply its cleansing to their hearts. Just as the priests had to be washed again and again, we needed to be continue to cleanse us of our sins. Being holy is a character of citizens. Last, that the members of the church are citizens of the kingdom teaches us the benefits of the citizens. The benefits of the citizens. As Peter says, they are His own special possession. God called us citizen of the kingdom, member of His church, and a special people, or other Bible translation says, His possessed people. We are guaranteed the best benefit by the greatest king, so much better than any social security of any countries. God calls us my special people. God treats us in very special ways. He grants us union with Christ and preservance to the end, etc. Because we are special in His eyes. He considers His church as something very special. Because the church is His kingdom. The citizens of His kingdom. Now, we reach our third and last heading. The core of the kingdom. The core of the kingdom is to proclaim the king of the kingdom. Look at verse 9 with me. I want you to give your attention to the last portion of verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is the core for the church. This is the core for His kingdom, to proclaim the praise of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. It's worthwhile for us to look at the verb to proclaim at this point. This verb rarely appears in the Bible. The usage of this verb in Greek translation of Old Testament is mostly found in the book of Psalms. Eight times over nine times. Psalm 71, 15. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds, of salvation all the day. Psalm 73, 28. I may tell of all your works. Psalm 107, 22. Declare his works with rejoicing. Psalm 119, 13. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. Just like the psalmist, we should praise God for who He is and for what He has done. This is the core of the church. This is the core of His kingdom. More interestingly, for me, hopefully for you too, this verb is shown once or twice in the New Testament. Obviously, one is in 1 Peter 2:9, as we saw and read. The other you may find or not in Mark 16:8. If you'd like to open the Gospel of Mark 16:8. Let me read Mark 16:8. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the story where Mary Magdalene and other women met the angel of God at the tomb of Jesus and heard his resurrection. Still, you may not see or hear the same word proclaimed, right? However, some ancient manuscripts have the following ending between verse 8 and 9. If you have a Pew Bible or other English translations, you might have the footnote there. Then they quickly reported all these instructions to those around people. Here, they reported. This verb is the same verb to proclaim. As other gospel writers wrote, for instance, in Luke 24:9, the woman returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. So, it's pretty true account. The woman who became the very first witnesses, reporters of Christ's resurrection, proclaimed the good news to the disciples. And in particular, Peter was mentioned in Mark's account. Peter and those around Peter. And now, from today's passage, Peter is making clear to you and me the core of the church, which is to proclaim Jesus Christ, who is the King of the church, the King of the kingdom. Woman, Peter, and us. In the RP testimony, we found this statement. It is the mission of the church to preserve, maintain, and proclaim to the whole world the gospel of Jesus Christ and the whole counsel of God. Yes, this is our call and our duty. We, the people of God, the members of His church, and the citizens of His kingdom, who had not obtained mercy from God, but now have obtained mercy, we should proclaim to the whole world and to those of every race and people. We should seek the advancement of the kingdom of God in every way on earth. As we close, let me suggest two applications based on today's passage. First, exhibit the difference between God's people and the world. We looked at our identity as citizens of His kingdom through today's study. Verse 10 summarizes who we were in the past and who we are in the present. Back to verse 9, four descriptions also showed the character of our citizenship. We had not obtained His mercy, but we have tasted His mercy. We were aliens and strangers, but still we are aliens and strangers, but have become very special to God. God called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are separated from the world. We should not be yoked with the unbelievers in this world. But it is also true that we live here in this world with the unbelievers. Therefore, we as a church and as a kingdom, as the citizens of His kingdom, should exhibit the differences. Second, continue doing what we must do as the Church of Christ. The Heidelberg Catechism question and answer of number 83 states this. What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? The preaching of the Holy Gospel and church discipline. By these two, the kingdom of heaven is opened to believers and closed to unbelievers. These keys have been given to Peter and to the Church of Christ. These two are also the true marks of the church alongside with sacraments. The word of God, purely preached and heard, and practice of church discipline are important for those who are already in the church. We should not undervalue those. But at the same time, the church should proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and the whole counsel of God to all the nations and people. Jesus Christ is the only one King of all nations, the only powerful majesty over all things. This truth is the thing we should proclaim to the world. In closing, the people of God, remember that we are one as the church, the body of Christ. That we are citizens of the kingdom of Christ because the church is the kingdom. So then, let us proclaim the King of this kingdom. Amen.